Scruffy Stuff podcast has had an episode every week since spring 2020, which means there is a lot to talk about in downtown Knoxville and a lot of things to do in downtown Knoxville. But some of these activities leave you just wanting a little bit more. And so today's podcast, we are going to talk about the things that are available in downtown Knoxville that we want just a little bit more of. These are things like events and businesses and just general city functions that we enjoy in downtown, but we believe you could enjoy even a little bit more if it was offered maybe more throughout the year or on a more regular basis. So before we dive into that, welcome to the Scruffy Stuff. I am your co-host, Ryan Willis, downtown reporter at Knox News.
And I'm Brenna McDermott, growth and development editor at Knox News.
And for those who are new to the podcast, welcome. The Scruffy Stuff is a podcast about all the news happening in and around downtown Knoxville, brought to you by KnoxNews.com, where you can find everything we discuss here on the show and a whole lot more. Knox News relies on support from readers and listeners to provide you compelling stories from Knoxville and across East Tennessee. Subscribers get an all-access pass to all of our premium exclusive content. And to become a subscriber, it's easy. Just visit KnoxNews.com/subscribe, see our latest offer, and sign up today.
Ryan, we know that Knoxville, downtown Knoxville, is a very beer-centric place. Period. End of sentence. I'm not trying to compete with that beer scene or take away from it in any way. But for those of us who lean more on the wine side, I think we could certainly do with a few more wine bars to round out downtown Knoxville's booze scene.
I mean, right now we have zero, right? I think Double S is about to open or reopen, I should say, with the move over to Magnolia. I know 00 is coming, but that's all the way up in Happy Holler. Yeah, no wine bars right now.
I'm still mourning the loss of Old City Wine Bar. It's been closed for like 3 years. Brother Wolf is a good place to go if you want guidance on your wine selection. They take it pretty seriously. But other than that, there's not a ton of wine-centric places to go. So,
and even they brand themselves as a cocktail bar, too. I mean, of right. course, they have wine, and that's part of the culture as well. But yeah, that's and it's weird to me because, you know, we've seen with restaurants, right, we've talked about in the podcast before, how the restaurant scene has sort of been elevated over the past few years. But you haven't really seen bars elevate in the same way unless they are attached to a restaurant, it seems like. Like, you have the Vault at Vita, you have Brother Wolf at Osteria Stella. You know, the bar at Keffi is great, but I haven't really seen any like new elevated. And this is just coming from somebody who thinks wine is a little bit more of an elevated drink than a PBR. But, you know,
fancy juice.
Yeah, but maybe not only a wine bar, but a straight up just new fancy bar that is totally focused on alcohol and not food first.
I recently had some visitors in town and they were asking, you know, what should we wear or what should we pack to wear when we come? And I think one of the great things about Knoxville is you have elevated concepts, but they're balanced out with fun breweries that are low-key and casual. And what I told my visitors was, you can get away with wearing jeans anywhere in downtown Knoxville. And I like that about Knoxville. I'm not trying to change that.
Right, yeah. I was told I couldn't enter the Vault one time. So, aside from that, don't wear jeans there, or graphic tees, or... They offered me a tour, though. That was nice. They wouldn't let me in, but they had offered they could walk me around one time and walk past all the guests. But.
So it was about the jeans, or were these
jorts?
Oh, no,
I was not dressed for it. I literally just wanted to just, it was like right when they opened, and I just thought like maybe I could get away with it. I was not dressed for the occasion, in retrospect. But
okay.
Yeah, not blaming them at all. Well, for me, as downtown has grown and as downtown has gotten busier, one of the things that I've taken advantage of a lot and something that came sort of out of the pandemic was, you know, the emphasis on to-go food in downtown Knoxville. And with that, during COVID-19, the early parts of it, when we were in the heat of it, the city opened up some parallel parking spots on the street to where you can just put your flashers on and go and get food. And they weren't ticketing or anything. And that's sort of graduated to an actual, you know, signs and areas designated to 15-minute flasher parking. Great idea as somebody, you know, for somebody who wants to support downtown businesses but doesn't always want to go into a garage or, you know, drive around in circles until I can find a spot. I love the idea of these temporary parking spots, 15 minutes, put your hazard lights on. But we could use more of them, I think, especially with the abundance of parking available in the garages. Like, if you're coming out to spend some time in downtown, you don't need to parallel park unless you know you have some reason where you can't walk. Park in the garages and give some more of those spots. Like they gave spots to the scooters, they took away some parallel spots for scooter corrals. Take away a few more to add some of those flasher spots in, because while there is a good amount of them right now, part of the problem is people just ignore the rules and just park there anyways. And so I find myself driving around like, look at this guy, doesn't have his flashers on. I wanted to park there, you know. So I would like to see more of those downtown.
Yeah, you got to make it easy for people to get in and out with takeout or just running into a store and getting some. If you need to stop in and get your Cruise Farm ice cream fix and head home to the kids, it needs to be easier.
Don't take the kids to Cruise Farm. Come get it before you get the kids.
Can you imagine having kids in that long line?
Right, sometimes? You might need to have longer than 15 minutes with your hazards on.
Okay, well, while we're talking about kids, I think something downtown Knoxville is sorely lacking is family-friendly activities, more things that are kid-centric. Now, you might be asking, Brenna, why do you care about family-friendly activities? Because you don't have kids.
Also, I'm going to challenge you, because you say this podcast is about what we have and need more of. I can't even think of what we have in this area.
Well, Ryan, let me tell you what we have. We have breweries, which is apparently where all Knoxville 30-somethings bring their kids to run around.
Yeah, get a giant Connect Four and they'll babysit it for, that'll be a babysitter for an hour.
Well, I was at multiple breweries over the weekend and was really noticing, I mean, the families just come and they let their kids run wild around the brewery. And if there was something to do that was like an actual kid activity at the brewery that sort of, you know, cloistered them all together, that would be one thing, but they were just running around the tables. So for me, it would be super helpful if we could have more things where kids have entertainment and the parents go too, and that's where they're going instead of breweries.
Right, like a Disney Junior sing-along at the brewery.
Like, okay, bear with me, this is gonna sound somewhat offensive, but it's a really good idea.
To children?
To children.
Okay.
You know how in Happy Holler there is the Bark, which is a dog park / bar?
I don't hate it. I see where you're going.
How about the child equivalent, where you're going, your kids can all play together, there's games and toys, and it's enclosed, so they're all safe. There's people to watch your kids, and you can sit at the bar and drink.
Yeah, or just a last second babysitter service for people who are going out.
Ooh,
to drink.
Love it.
I'm gonna call it Sip and Sitters.
Trademark.
Jeez, I shouldn't even have said that on the podcast. That was actually really good off the top of the dome there. I like that idea, and people should go back and listen to our Hot Takes podcast episode. Search for that on whatever platform you're on. That was one of the hot takes that came up, is that do your research before you, I mean, that's not really a hot take, you should always do your research, but watch kids at the breweries. Yeah, but it is cool that it's a family-friendly space. Just could cater it a little bit better. Well, for me, kind of keeping in line with the desire for more events and family friendly events, I would like to see more pop-ups on Market Square. You know, we had a podcast a couple weeks ago that talked about the economic impact and just how big of a deal Bassmaster Classic, followed by Big Ears, Covenant Health Marathon, Chalk Walk, all this stuff was, and it all happening on the same weekend. And you had mentioned, Brenna, that like, okay, great, but you know, next weekend, is it going to be dead? You know, does it make sense to spread things out more? And we had a whole debate about whether you even can spread them out, because every Saturday is busy in downtown Knoxville these days. But I think just some occasional, and they already do this. That's the whole point of the podcast, right? There are pop-ups on the Market Square stage. They have some concerts here and there. They have some movies here and there. I just always go back, and I think I mentioned it before, to that March Madness event that was down there. This kind of goes with two of my answers, both of which I said here on the podcast before, but more things on Market Square and more of a UT presence in downtown, especially in the NIL era. But yeah, looking back at that March Madness event, I mean, you had like a basketball court out there. You had some pyrotechnics. You had the band playing. And little things like that are great. And I think maybe not even that we need to have more of those, but we need to have more marketing of those, because it's not, I don't often hear about the jazz on the square or the movies on the square. And I just think that'd be a good way to, you know, help businesses without, you know, making them wait for the next big event to come downtown to boost sales.
It's hard to think about pre-COVID and like actually remember what things were like, but my perception is that there were more kind of like weeknight things going on Market Square. And I don't know if that's an intentional decision to focus, you know, money and promotional time and all those things in other areas, like, you know, the Peppermint Trail is hugely popular and Elf on the Shelf and those things that get people downtown and in stores. Maybe that's where Downtown Knoxville and Visit Knoxville are more putting their energy. But I agree, because there are times where I'm not looking to like spend a whole day out somewhere, but it'd be like, oh, I have 2 hours to kill. It'd be great to go see a movie on the square.
Yeah, and one of the great things, I mean, about Market Square is like the farmer's market. That's like a good example of like the level of event that I'm talking about. Like just something that you could walk around, browse, whatever it is, you know, maybe pop-up booths, maybe it's food trucks rolled out into the square, although never mind, that would not help all the restaurants on Market Square, but you know, or maybe an open container day on Ooh. Market Square, you know, hot take. But yeah, I think there could just be a little bit more going on there, especially as popular of an area as that is.
So if you're on Market Square and you pop down to Strong Alley, one of the things you're going to see is the Dolly mural.
Oh.
And I think we are maybe going to slightly disagree about this next point. Because, Ryan, not to speak for you, but I think I spied on your list more of Dolly in downtown Knoxville. Is that accurate?
You're cutting me off before I even say it. I hear me out. And I'm not saying that there needs to be more Dolly items for sale or more Dolly, you know, just praise and passion that people have for Dolly. I would just like to see a little bit more of actual Dolly. And I'm talking about whether that means a show or, you know, really seeing that Dolly Festival grow a little bit more than it has. I mean, it started out and it's grown a lot already. Starting out, it's just sort of like almost like a pop-up, and now it's become a bigger thing. Or just, you know, a Dolly themed. I mean, I, you know, she's the business mind. This is me speaking for Dolly, but I think, hey, Dolly, I think you could really do something here in Knoxville with a new business. And, you know, she's got the Dolly Hotel in Nashville. Why is that not in Knoxville?
That's a great point. Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, yes, Dolly's everywhere. People have Dolly on their shirts, Dolly in their stores. But, like, you know, and again, she's not from here, but still. All she's right. The East Tennessee queen.
Bear with me. Dolly Parton Escape Room.
Ooh. I kind of like
it. You heard it here first, people.
I like it.
But, okay, back to... okay, but I was... Again, I had visitors over last weekend and was sort of experiencing Knoxville through tourist eyes. And I got to say, it was like every single shop we went into was the exact same Dolly merch over and over. You know, those couple of photos of her that people reuse on t-shirts, on mugs. It just felt really repetitive. And I felt myself wishing... I wish we were spreading the love a little bit more in terms of who we're representing, not just Dolly. She is for sure the queen, but we have a lot of celebrities with ties to Knoxville. You know, I didn't see any Peyton merch right. in any stores. Kelsea Ballerini is one of the biggest music artists in the world right now. And I don't see her represented as, you know, being someone who's making Knoxville proud.
Yeah, how cool would it be if there was just an entire store dedicated to Knoxville celebrities? I'm talking about you have like Peyton Manning jerseys with Kelsea Ballerini vinyl and Eve Tumor vinyl, and then you have Quentin Tarantino DVDs and posters on sale. And then, I mean, I'm just, yeah, because there is a lot. I mean, we did an East Tennessee, you know, we recently did our brewery bracket where we voted on the best breweries. And before that, I think a couple years ago, I actually did an East Tennessee celebrities bracket. And it was it's a lot of research, but it wasn't hard to find. I can't remember how many I had on there, but it was definitely like over 30 like famous people from East Tennessee. So I think there's an opportunity there for sure.
I don't want to, you know, spoil if we do another bracket, but did you know that the person who invented the parking meter is from Knoxville?
I heard about that. And the dumpster.
And the dumpster.
The dumpster. I mean, dumpster.
Come on, people. Why don't we have a t-shirt of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I wrote about that, and I was like, I think that was back when COVID. I said 2020 couldn't be a dumpster fire without George Dempster. We wouldn't even know what that word meant. All right, so I can't remember. I've lost track of who's going. You want to jump in?
Sure, I'll go.
We like to take turns here.
It's all about sharing. I think one of the things that helps a city feel really vibrant is a presence during the day and a presence on weeknights. I was downtown on a Monday night recently and was like kind of floored by how dead it was, which is natural. But I think one thing that could help with that is I think we need more corporate headquarters in downtown Knoxville. We need more large companies headquartering and experiencing all that downtown Knoxville has to offer. You know, Tom Briss is a great example. It's one of the top marketing companies in the country, headquartered in downtown Knoxville. And with that comes a vibrant, young, professional crowd that's going out for lunch, that's going to happy hour after work, just adding a lot of excitement and vibe to the downtown scene.
I do notice when I drive in to the office sometimes, so I'm coming in like around 11 o'clock, there'll be, and I'm coming from South Knoxville, there's a lot of people walking from the Regal headquarters across the bridge. You can see they got their badges on. But I mean, if you only got 30 minutes for lunch, you're going over there to eat and then come back. And then I'm not sure you want to go downtown and cross the bridge and find a place to park if you're coming from Regal headquarters. So I think that does give some action to the downtown businesses, having people walk across the bridge. It's not hitting that happy hour, I don't think, like you said. So yeah, I agree with you on that for sure. And not just more businesses downtown, or you said company headquarters, but what about more just businesses on the river? And I bring this up because well, for one, we talked about it in an entire podcast episode before, sort of what the barriers are to developing along the river. But it seems that some of those barriers are being addressed by Dominion Group, who you might be familiar with. They did the City South, River's Edge, and are working on the South Banks at Sutry Landing apartments in South Knoxville. Across the river on the other side, they have a huge development over there, kind of near the boat launch area, kind of tucked between James White Parkway and the river, 1624 Riverside Drive. And the plans over there are huge. I can't remember how many apartments it is exactly, hundreds of apartments. But one of the cool things is it's just all of the space that they're dedicating to commercial properties. And not only that, but restaurants that are actually facing the river, in addition to like a separate building that's kind of on a dock, like a boathouse that also could possibly house a restaurant. And there's going to be, you know, it's not just for the residents. The plan is to have, you know, parking down there where you can come and visit these restaurants. And so, you know, I think I wrote my story because this was in an update we did about this community meeting last week. I think I wrote, yeah, the only restaurants on the river in downtown are Calhoun's. Great. That's local. And then Ruth's Chris. Which is cool, but you know, it's a chain. And so, yeah, definitely like tap into the potential of us being a riverfront town, something we've talked about in the podcast before. And it seems like that is coming.
While we're talking about the river, we recently lost a Knoxville business that was associated with the river. Ryan, you want to share that news?
Yeah, I mean, this is based off Google results saying it's permanently closed, but I haven't heard anything about it in a while. Knoxville Cycle Boats. Long live Knoxville Cycle Boats. I went out on it before they opened. And then after they opened, I'll be honest, I never heard anybody ever say that they did it, which is sad. Could have been cool. Probably wasn't going to work.
I think what we need more of, or in this case, maybe we need, are more active activities in downtown Knoxville. You know, I'm thinking maybe the river. Maybe we're not ready for activities on the river yet. Maybe there's just not enough stuff to do on the river to draw people down there. But maybe Knoxville, downtown Knoxville, needs a rock climbing wall or mini golf or another gym. Just feels like there's not much to do if you're trying to like move your body.
Yeah, I would love, and I think I've talked about this before too, a rooftop mini golf that was on top of the food hall that I visited in Atlanta, I think. But yeah, and that kind of goes back to family friendly too. I mean, get outside, get active with your kids, and
go-karts.
Yes, I just picked up some. We were in an auction the other night, me and my fiance. We bid on NASCAR Speed Park tickets and we won. I went and picked those up, so might be hitting that up pretty soon. Wow. But I have to go all the way to the Gatlinburg to do it. Wish I could do it here. Okay, so just a few more things to talk about here. Let me get my list. I would talk about green space and public art, but I feel like that would be repetitive. We've talked about that so much here on the podcast. You know, I think one thing that I have heard a lot about from people, in fact, I get emails about this quite frequently. Why does downtown Knoxville not have a better skyline, aka why do we not have taller buildings? And I can't answer that question because that's a serious supply and demand and an investment to build a skyscraper in downtown Knoxville. But I think I've told this story before. You know, when I first came to Knoxville, or before I came to Knoxville, and I was driving past and I was on my way to Nashville. I think I was on my way to Bonnaroo, actually. And I drove through Knoxville. I was like, what is this place? I'll be honest. I'm going to use the word. And I don't think this now. Hopefully you know by now I'm a fan of downtown Knoxville and Knoxville. So that place looks dumpy. I mean, it looked like it. I mean, and this was a while ago. I mean, it definitely has changed. But it's the view from the interstate that just does not look like a major city that's thriving, just because it just the skyline is just like old looking and not that defined. And so, you know, maybe there's room. It's too expensive. It's going to cost a lot of money.
I think almost assuredly there are going to be more skyscrapers in downtown Knoxville. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of, you know, watching the economy and seeing what happens over the next year if we enter a recession. But there are certainly people scheming and dreaming right now about building more skyscrapers in downtown Knoxville.
Yeah, I've heard a couple developers actually mention that that's their dream is to do it. So, you know, I don't know how far in the scheming and planning process there is, but I have heard people tell me that would be the goal, you know, the legacy that they would hope to leave. So, yeah, maybe now's the time.
And on that page, I think there are more of these in the works, but we currently don't have enough boutique hotels. Hotels that really bring something artistic or visionary. It's not just, you know, one of the flagship brands. It's niche. The Oliver Hotel obviously is a great example of that. But I think those attract travelers who are really deeply interested in experiencing the authenticity of a city. They're going to spend money at local restaurants and bars. They're spending money at local or regional hotels. And I think we want more of those types of visitors in downtown Knoxville.
Yeah, and Kim Bumpus with Visit Knoxville would agree. I think I teased it. It's still coming out, update sort of on the hotels in and around downtown Knoxville and beyond. And, you know, I sort of asked her what's missing from the market. And she says, I don't think anything's missing from the market. But she did point out boutique hotels is one area where we could use more of them. And, you know, talking with her, yeah, it's not like it's going to make a big splash. It's not like you're adding 500 rooms. These boutique hotels just have a handful of rooms, but they're always going to be filled because there's going to be the demand for them. You can charge a lot more for them because there's going to be more demand for them. And like you said, people that want that experience are going to want the full experience of Knoxville and spend their money, and that's always a good thing. Do you have anything else?
I just have one more, and I feel like we've talked this one to death a little bit, but it has to be mentioned. More retail and services. That comes along with more people moving downtown. And so it will happen. It's just, I wish we could get there a little bit faster. If you look at the scope of what retail we have downtown right now, it's mostly shops for tourists, and they all kind of fall into the same buckets, like Knoxville merch, sweets, and women's clothing.
Yeah. The most local places, I feel like, are the liquor stores downtown. You go in there and get your smokes, get your drinks. They have a few convenient items. You also have, and this comes up because I guess I do have one more. I'm just going to shout out a mailbag question that didn't quite make it in the mailbag. But somebody emailed me the other day for the mailbag and said, where can I get a tube of lipstick? A tube of lipstick or some mascara? And I'm like, I don't know. I could have answered that in the mailbag. I could have probably done some research and found out. But I think more convenience store items too. Not even necessarily another convenience store, just more places where if I need a phone charger, I wish there was just some places that kept that in stock more. I feel like every time I feel like I need something downtown, I feel like I'm going to have to walk over to the market on Gay Street. I wish there were a few more options. I guess Red Panda's kind of filling that gap as well, but I don't know.
I think your best bet for mascara in downtown Knoxville is probably Urban Outfitters.
Yeah, probably.
I can't say for sure that they have makeup, but they seem like the kind of place that would.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, I don't know.
So if you get your makeup in downtown Knoxville, let us know.
I guess Mass General Store is a place that I totally forgot about. You can get most things there. I don't know if they'd have makeup, though.
I don't think they would have makeup. Mm. A mystery.
Well, that makes up the podcast for the day. Thanks for listening. This has been The Scruffy Stuff, a podcast about all the news happening in and around downtown Knoxville, anything and everything under the sun sphere. I've been your co-host, Ryan Willis. If you would like to keep up with me and the work that I'm doing, you can head on over to knoxnews.com or give me a follow on Instagram at knoxscruff.
To join in on the Downtown Knoxville conversation, you can join our free Facebook group. Just search Urban Knoxville and answer a few easy questions to get started.
And there's also a Urban Knoxville newsletter that goes out every Friday. So be sure to check out links to both of those in the podcast description. And while you're at it, go ahead and leave a review, a 5-star one. If you would, let us know what you like about the show and what you'd like to hear us talk about next. And if you do not already follow the podcast, hit that like or subscribe button on that whatever platform it is that you are listening on to get a notification every time a new episode drops. And just as a reminder to all of our longtime listeners, episodes are now on Tuesdays. We'll see you again next Tuesday. And thanks again for listening.